Begin the current daf, Maseches Makos, daf Dalet. Begin on the bottom of Gimel Amud Beis, four lines up and the bottom of the Amud. The Gemara continues in the related discussion from the previous daf where the Gemara had introduced a halacha from Rav Yehuda, which then Rav Kahana had asked on. So the Gemara brings a string of teachings from Rav Yehuda, which then has a question of Rav Kahana, although it's not directly related to the topic of our Masechta. So Rav Yehuda Merav, he says, Shleishes Lugin Mayim. There's three lug of water. Lug is a certain measurement. If there's three lug of water, which when there's a mikvah, which needs 40 saw, and if it wasn't filled up yet, if one puts in three lug of water, that invalidates rabbinically the mikvah. So if there are these three lug of what's called mayim sh'uvim, of drawn water, because the water has to be live water, has to be from rainwater or from a spring. If one takes three lug of drawn water, that would invalidate the mikvah. So if someone has that measurement of water, where then a small amount, a quart of very small measurement, a small amount of wine falls into that drawn water, that mayim sh'uvim. Umarein kemarayin, and now the appearance, the color of that water now has the color of wine. Enough of the mikveh, now that falls into a mikveh that does not yet have the 40 saw. If it has 40 saw and then water goes in, it's going to be kosher. It actually becomes bottle, becomes part of the mikveh water, and it's kosher. But generally, if there was three lugan of water to a not full mikveh, it would invalidate it. In this situation, since it has the color of wine and it falls into the mikveh, loy paslua, it's not going to invalidate the mikveh because you go after the color. And wine does not invalidate a non-filled-up mikveh yet, because this whole psul of a mikveh, when it's not full yet, withdrawn water is only rabbinic, and that applies only to full-fledged water, but if it has the color, because Rabbi Huda in the name of Rav is saying that the primary aspect is the color. If it has the color of water, then it's considered water which invalidates, but since it has the color of wine, although obviously the majority of it is water, it's not going to invalidate the mikveh. And that mask of Rav Kana asked, what do you mean? V'chima bein zeh l'meitzava. What's the difference between this concoction, this, and colored water? Where this is also essentially water, it just has the color of wine, wine-colored water. What's the difference between dyed water? The time we learn the Mishnah Masechtas Mikvayos that says, Rabbi Yisrael, he says, meitzava, colored water, dyed water, paisleness a mikvah b'shleishes lugin. If you have three lug of drawn water, it invalidates a mikvah that was not yet filled up with 40 saw, even though it has a different color, has a blue color, a green color, it doesn't make a difference, it invalidates. Why is this wine-colored water any different? Samlei Rava responded to me, he says, Hasam maya detziva mikri. There, it's cold water, it's just called dyed water. So water invalidates, albeit that it has a different color. Here it's not called wine-colored water. It's called diluted wine. It has the appearance of wine, just as very much diluted because it's much more water. So it has a totally different designation because it's wine. So there the appearance is going to turn not just into another color, but it's going to give us the designation of wine, which is not invalidated. It makes it in contrast to Meitzava. However, the Gemara asks, but Vatani Reb Chiya taught in his Braisa regarding this halacha that we're discussing. When there's three lugan of water that a kertiv of yain fell into it, and the appearance is the appearance of wine, and then that falls into a mikveh, Reb Chiya taught clearly haridu as a mikveh, it downgrades the mikveh from its viability of being kosher to being pasul. So that clearly contradicts this teaching of Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, where the way it was just described is that as long as the appearance of wine is going to be kosher, the same exact case by Rabbi was taught that it's possible. So Rav, it says, Lakash, it's not a difficulty. Ha, this teaching of Rav is like Rabbi Yechanan ben Nuri, who, as we're going to shortly see, says the primary aspect is the appearance, the color. If it looks like wine, it has halacha like wine, which does not invalidate. Ha, Rabbanan. This teaching of the Brais of Rabbi Chia is going like the Rabbanan of the following Mishnah, which says that the primary thing is it three lug of water, even though it's the appearance of wine. It doesn't make it, it's about the appearance, and it will invalidate. So now, like, the Mishnah says that this machlekes Rabbi and Rav is a machlekes tanoim, and they're going like their respective tanoim, says Rav. The Mishnah teaches, shleishes lug in mayim. There's three lug of water, as we continue top of Dalam and Alv, but this case, as we'll shortly see, that has a different aspect from Rav's case, chaser kortiv. It's three log, but not three log of water. It's missing a kortiv. It's almost three log of water of mayim shuvim. Shenafel teichin kortiv yain. Then a kortiv of wine falls into that, thus making this mixture into a total of three log, but not totally of water. Has a little bit of wine that made it into three log. Umarein kamari yain, and the appearance is like the appearance of wine. Venaflu la mikveh, and then that three log of water. Well, it's almost three lug of water, which has a little of wine in it, falls into the mikveh. Says the Tanakama, loy paslua. It does not invalidate the mikvah. Why? Because it wasn't three lugan of water. It was missing a kortiv. Now, the inference is, and this is the important point, that if this water was originally three whole lugan of water, and then the kortiv of yayin would have fell into it, even though the appearance is the appearance of wine, it would still invalidate the mikvah. It's only saying because it didn't have three lug of water. It had a little bit less than three lug. It was missing a kortiv. So therefore this, says Rava, that Reb Chiya had taught, that haridu es a mikvah, it's going to downgrade the mikvah, is like this Tana who holds that it's only when it was chasa kortiv, and then wine falls in, and then it falls into the mikvah, that it's going to be kasher. But if it was three lug of water and then wine fell into it, even though the appearance is like wine, it would invalidate the mikvah because ultimately it has three lug of water. Again, the similar type of a case, says the Tanna Kamma. If there's three lugan of water minus a kortiv, shenafal atech and kortiv chalav. This case is not wine, but then a kortiv of milk falls into that amount of drawn water. Umarein kamarin ma'im, and the appearance is like the appearance of water. Venafal a mikvah, and then it falls into the mikvah. Again, loy paslu, it's not going to invalidate the mikvah, and the reason of the seifa is the same idea as the reisha, it's because it's not three lug of water, it's missing a kortiv. Now, the truth is, it could have said the same thing regarding the case of the wine and put these two cases together. It could have just said three lugan of water minus a kortiv, which then fell into it either a kortiv of wine or of milk, because whether the appearance is like the appearance of water, or whether it has the appearance, which is what milk is, whether the appearance of wine, either way, it's not going to invalidate the mikvah because it doesn't have three lug of water, doesn't have that shear. It's just that it was differentiating, because as we'll shortly see, recording Rabbi Yechiel Nuri, there is that difference. It's just that because when a kortiv of wine falls in, which is red, it makes the mikvah water like its appearance. Whereas when milk falls in, it doesn't change the color, it keeps the appearance white as water. But really, essentially, according to the Kamma, they're both the same halacha. Now, Rabbi Yechiel Nuri, I mean, he says, HaKol Hoylech Achamara, no, everything, it's not dependent on the shear. According to Tanna Kamma, which Rav is saying is like Reb Chiya, which is that it's going to passel the mikvah because it depends on the measurement of water. He says, no, everything goes according to the appearance. Where according to the interpretation of Rava, there's actually two different machlekes in these two cases of the Reish and the Seifa between Rabbi Yechiel Ben Nuri and the Tanna Kamma. What that means to say is by the case of the Reisha of wine, even though originally according to Rabbi Yechiel Ben Nuri, if it was three whole lugan of water, since the appearance is the appearance of wine, according to Rabbi Yechiel Ben Nuri, it would not be passel. And that's who Rav is going like. Because even three lugan of water, which has the amount to passel, but if wine falls in, it changes the color, it goes according to wine. Now, moreover, in the case of milk, even if originally it was missing a kortiv, according to Rabbi Yechiel Ben Nuri, since it has the color of water, so then it would complete it to three lugan of mayim she'uvim, and it would passel, it would invalidate. So there's two things that they disagree, and says Rava, that's the machlekes. Rav and Reb Chiya is the machlekes, Rabbi Yechiel Ben Nuri and the Rabban. And therefore, Rav's teaching was going like Rabbi Yechiel Ben Nuri. That the Gemara asks, on this teaching of Rava, who he explained, don't ask on Rav. Rav's going like Rabbi Yechiel Ben Nuri. But essentially, he's saying that Rav's only like Rabbi Yechiel Ben Nuri, not like the Rabbanon. On that, asks the Gemara, Hami boye, boye le Rav Papa. But how is Rav so confident that Rav is not like the Rabbanon? But this was a question that actually Rav Papa had asked. The boye Rav Papa had asked the Rav that said that the three lugan of water that has wine fall into it, that then falls into the mikveh, is not going to pass the mikveh. He asked, how does he learn? What's his girsa in this Mishnah Maseches Mikvayis that we're quoting? Does he learn, as actually we have the girsa in our Gemara, Chasa Kortiv Bereisha, that the Reisha's case of the Yayin also has the words that it was three lugan minus a kortiv, Avalbat, Shloisha lugan, but if let's say it was three whole lugan of Mayim Shuvim, as we made the inference, the Tanna Kamma Pasli, then according to Tanna Kamma, that would be Pasl, as we had said, according to Rava, that which is not going to be like Rav, Va'as Rabbi Yechon Lameima, and then on that, Rabbi Yechon is coming to say and disagree with the Tanna Kamma. Even on the Reisha, that no hakol hoylich achahamara, no, even if it's three lugan of drawn water, but then if a little bit of wine falls in, it changes the color, we go after the color, and we designate it as wine, which does not invalidate the mikvah. And therefore then, yes, Rav is only like Rabbi Yechiel Ben Nuri, the way Rav has said it. But Rav Papa wasn't so confident about that. He said, Oidilma, or maybe no, Rav loy tani chusa kortiv bereisha. Rav did not have the girsa in the reisha of the words chasa kortiv. And rather, Rav's halacha was even like drabbanan, because if you do not have the girsa, which are the first words on this amud of chasa kortiv in the resha of that mishnah, so then it comes out that the rabban actually need two elements to invalidate the mikvah. It has to have the measurement of three lukin, and it has to have the color also of water. So because then the girsa would be, if you're not having the words chasa kortiv, you would be reading the Tanakama as, if there's three lugan of water, that then falls in the kortiv of yayin, then it says loipas lu, it's not going to invalidate. Why isn't it going to invalidate? It has the measurement of three. Because besides that, it has to have the color too. As we see by the case of the seifa, by the milk, where it's only because there it's chasa kortiv, because there the Eben agrees that girsa is chasa kortiv. But if it wasn't, then it would be pasul. And therefore comes out, Rabbi Yechim and Nuri keep Palak as Seifa with the Palak. Comes out, Rabbi Yechim and Nuri, according to this option of Rabbi Papa, that Rabbi Yechim and Nuri was only disagreeing on the second case of the Tanakama, when it was three Logan minus a Kortiv, and then it was filled up to three Logan with milk. So Tanakama says you need both to be possible, both the color of water and the amount of water. You don't have. You have the color of water, but you don't have a full three Logan of water. So they're going to say loipaslu, but Rabbi Chanuri says that no, the primary, the only thing is the color. And Resha, of course, is not going to be possible according to him because it has a color of wine. But the Seif actually is going to be possible because although it doesn't have three lugan of water, but it has the color of water, and that's the primary thing, and therefore it's going to be possible. And therefore, Varav Dama Kediv Yakol, so Rav Papa was wondering, maybe that actually Rav, he was teaching his teaching according to everybody, because everybody holds to be possible, you need to have the appearance of water. The only question is, do you need only the appearance of water, like Rabbi Yechim and Nuri, or do you need also the measurement of water, which are three lugan, which is what the Tanakama holds? So therefore, how could Rav say so confidently that Rav is only like Rabbi Yechim and Nuri and not like Rabbanan? Says the Gemara, L'Rav Papa Mibayinle. Rav Papa had it at a question. L'Rav, according to Rav, it was obvious that Rav had the girsa, as our Gemara quotes it, of Chasa Kortiv even in the Resha, where that would come out, as we were saying in Rav before, that the Tanakama only requires to invalidate the measurement of three lugan of water, even if it does not have the color of water, even if it has the color of wine, it's still going to pasul. Rav, who was particular, that no, to be pasul has to have the color of water, whereas, let's say, if it has the color of wine, it's not going to be pasul, was only like Rabbi Yechim ben Nuri. Now, Amar Rav Yosef, who was a student of Yehuda, he said, Lo shmi li hashmaita. I didn't hear this teaching from my Rebbe Rav Yehuda, that which was quoted before in his name on the bottom of the previous daf, that if there's three lugan of water that falls into it a kortiv of yain, as long as it has the color of wine, it's not going to be pasul. Pirsa says, I didn't hear this teaching. Amle Abayas, Abaya, who's a student of Rav Yosef, said to him, as we find many times in Shas, At Amrit Lo Nahalin, what do you mean? You said this to us. And that is because Rav Yosef became ill and he forgot a lot of his learning, and Abaya would remind him of what he had received the tradition from Yosef himself. He says, V'hachi Amrit Nahalon, and it was on this that you told it to us. Meaning when you were teaching of this mikvah, this Mishnah Masechtas Mikvayis, that you told us on that Mishnah, this teaching of Rav Yehuda Merav, and you explained to us, and you said, Rav, Loi Tani Chasa Kortiv Bereisha, that Rav, not like Rava, did not have the girsa Chasa Kortiv, did not have those words in the Reisha of the Mishnah of missing a Kortiv. And therefore you told us that Rabbi Yechon and Seifa Palak, Rabbi Yechon and Benuri was only disagreeing with the case of the Seifa. And Virav Damak, the Rakal and the Rav actually was not like the way Rav says it, but actually like the other option of Rav Papa's question, that actually Rav was teaching his teaching like everybody, because everyone holds that you need to have chazusa, the appearance of water, to pasul, and therefore everyone would agree when you have shleisha lugan of water, you may have the measurement to pasul, but if it has the color of wine, everyone would agree that it's going to be kosher, it's not going to invalidate the mikvah. Another teaching from Amar Rav Yehuda Merav, continuing on this theme about a mikvah and invalidating the immersion, Chaves malei mayim, a barrel that's filled with water, of drawn water, shenaf liyam agula, falls into the great sea, the Mediterranean Sea. Hatovel sham, if someone immerses right there in that place where they drop the barrel of drawn water, loyos loy tefila. That immersion in the water, although immersing in a spring or natural body of water is kosher for a mikvah, that's not going to work to purify him in that immersion. Why? Cheshin and Lashleisha Lugin Shlayi B'makam Echad were concerned that those three Lugin shouldn't be in one place. Meaning, maybe the entire contents of the drawn water that was in the barrel that fell right there is still stagnant there in that place, which has relevancy, as the Gemara says in Shabbos, at the end of Masechta Zavim, there is a rabbinic halacha that if someone after he immerses in the mikvah has the majority of his body come into drawn water, that invalidates him in regards to halachas of truma, we could still consider him as tameh. Now, in this case, although he's going down into the Mediterranean Sea, as he's coming out, he might be coming through, because the water might be stagnant over there, staying in one place, stationary, he might be coming through the Mayim She'uvim, which is going to go through the majority of his body, and therefore that's going to invalidate the mikvah, the immersion from him, and therefore he's still going to be considered as tummy. Which the Gemara says, V'dafka liyam ha'gadol dekoy v'kaimah. Now this whole halacha was only said if the immersion and the, where this barrel had fell was in the Mediterranean Sea, which is stagnant waters. But this would not be a problem, a concern in a regular river where the water is constantly streaming down. There, even if it fell over here, the water already took it and dissipated and it dispersed. There's no problem if someone immerses over there. We don't say that he probably went through the Mayim She'uvim and therefore he's going to be tar. So the Gemara Tanam Hoch is similar in a Braisa that we're concerned by the Yam HaGadol regarding beverages that fall over there to say that maybe it's still there in that place. As the Braisa says, Chavis Malaya Yayin Shenafel Yam HaGadol, a barrel full of wine that fell into the Yam HaGadol, the Great Sea. HaTayvel Sham Loi Osloi Tefillah. If someone immerses right there in that place, the Tefillah does not work for him. Now, although the Gir says, now Gemara has it, similar as we said before, we're concerned that there shouldn't be three lug of drawn liquid in one place. But as Mefarshim explained, Rashi's Gir said that according to the Gir said to take out those words, and the concern with the wine is that he actually didn't even immerse himself in the water of the Yam HaGadol, rather he immersed himself at least partly in the wine, and your entire body has to be in the mikveh itself, and therefore that's not going to be valid. But the primary thing is that we see is that because we're concerned that the wine is actually still there where it fell, and again, as we said, because in something like the Yam HaGadol, which is the water is stationary, we have those concerns. And v'chein kikar shel truma shenafel sham. The same concern would be if a loaf of truma bread fell over there in that spot after this person immersed himself and came out over there. That tummy, that we say that bread is going to be tummy. Why? Because maybe, as the concern has it, that the wine is stationary. It is where it always is. Not only that, so the wine was regular wine, but the wine then became tummy because of the person. The person was tummy. He was going in to immerse himself. Problem is, we said that maybe his whole body didn't go into the water, so he never purified himself. Not only that, he touched the wine. Now the wine became tummy. Now when the loaf of bread falls in there, it's falling into the wine, which became tummy from the person, and now it makes the loaf of bread tummy, which is truma. Now that's truma, that's tummy. So the Gemara asks, "My v'chein." What does it mean? And also, obviously, since you're concerned, as we said, that was the primary base of the halacha, that maybe the wine stayed stationary where it was. So of course, you have to be concerned that it became tummy from the person, and then now the loaf that touched it is going to be tummy. So the Gemara, no, because ma'ad tamei. What would you think to say that although that regarding the immersion, we said we are concerned for the wine that was stationary. However, regarding the loaf, maybe we would not be concerned. Why? Because this whole halacha is a situation of doubt. We don't know, is the wine still in the place where it fell or not? Now, hasam over there by the person, there we say that his immersion in the waters are not going to work, because uki gavra achazke, we established the person based on his predisposition, what he was, his previous position was up until now. Now, up until now, his chazaka was, his presumptive state was that he was tummy. Now, you want to go ahead and purify him from the immersion that he did, which is a doubtful immersion, you can't purify someone out of doubt. And you retain his chazaka that he was tummy. But I would say, hacha uki truma achazaka, in this situation of the loaf of bread up until now was tahar. Let it retain its presumptive state of tahara and not be metameted out of doubt. K'mashalman, that's what the Braisa is teaching the halacha, that no, that we say that just like we're presuming that the person is tummy, because the wine was there and became tameh, meaning it didn't allow him to have a tefillah, and thus making the wine tameh, so too, the loaf of bread that falls over there will also be considered that it fell into the wine, which will then be metameh, the loaf of bread. The Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on this theme of our first parak of Edim Zayman. So the Mishnah tells us that me'idin ono be'ish pleini, if the witnesses say that we testify regarding that person, shechayv l'chaver mesayim zuz, that he owes his friend 200 zuz. Nimtzu Zayman, it turns out that the Muhuzam, another set of witnesses, comes and say, how could you say that you saw that he owes him that $200 that he took the loan on that day, and that day you were somewhere else with us? So says the first opinion, like in Umashalman, the Edim Zayman get two punishments. They get lashes, and they have to pay the 200 zuz, which is kasha zaman, what they tried to make and prosecute the defendant. Why are they getting two punishments? Shaloi Hashem, which means a reference to the Pasig, because it's not the pasuk Hamavin de Makis that brings the Edom Zomer to the liability of lashes, is Mavin de Tashuma that brings them to the obligation of the monetary payment, because they're coming from two different violations. The lashes they get is because of Leisana Berecha et Shaka, because the Torah says, don't say false testimony, and they did. Violating a negative prohibition gives you lashes. The monetary payment, that's for a different Torah violation. That's because of Kasha Zamam. Whatever you plotted to do, you get back. That's Divrei Meir. So he says, these are two separate violations, and therefore you get these two separate punishments. The sages say, no, Kala Mashalim Einu Leika. Whoever pays doesn't get lashes. Because the Torah says, as Gemara will explain, Kedei Rishasa, it says that you make him liable according to his wickedness, and it says it in the singular, Rishasa, which tells us that only for one wickedness you can make a person liable, but you can't make him liable for one act for two different liabilities, which the Gemara Masechta Ksubos Daf Lamed Beis and Beis asks, well, then say the other way. Don't say Kala Mashalim Ein Aleika, say Kala Leika Ein Mashalim. Say that whoever gets lashes doesn't pay, and then let the Edom Zomer get lashes and not pay, not that they should pay and not get lashes. And I think Gemara explains over there that the Torah explicitly includes Edom Zomer for monetary payment, as it teaches over there, and therefore we know they're going to pay. So once they're paying, they don't get lashes. Now, the Mishnah continues with another case. Me'idin anu b'ish pleini. If let's say the witnesses say, we testify regarding that person, shuchayiv malkas abam. We say he violated a certain negative prohibition, which gets lashes, and therefore he deserves lashes. V'nimtzu zayman, turns out that they were zayman, they were liars. So now, loikin shmeinim, says the first opinion, they get two sets of lashes. Why? One, and this is related to the previous halacha, mishum, first of all, they violated what the pasuk says in Shemais, leisana v'recha et shakar, do not answer regarding your friend a false testimony. So for violating that negative prohibition, they get lashes as in any violation. Umishum, and also because like the pasuk says in Nevarim, vasisim lekash hazam, that you should do it to him as he had plotted to do to his friend, which is the halacha of hazama. They wanted him to get lashes. Now instead, they get lashes. That's what Meir says. Therefore, there's two sets of lashes, which is 39 plus 39. They say, no, ein leikin el arbam, the Edom Zomer only get one set of lashes because of kasha zamam, but because of leisana, that they don't get lashes, as Gemara will explain the reason for that. So the Gemara continues in Amud Beis and asks, bishlem el rabban, we understand the pinnim of rabban in our Mishnah that they say that you don't get lashes and pay, that you're only going to pay, because the pasuk says in the Devarim, as we said before, kedei rishasiksev, it says that you make him liable according to his wickedness, and it says rishasai in the singular, which teaches you mishum risha achas at mechayve, for one act that they did, which was this one false testimony, you could only make him liable for one v'yat mechayve mishum shtei rishas. You cannot make him liable for two punishments. So as we said, the Gemara over there explains explicitly that they're going to get monetary payment. So only the mammon do they pay, but not the lashes. What's the reason that he says that they're going to get two rishayis? Generally, we say risha achas. Why does he say that they're going to have to get malchus and pay the 200 zuz that they try to make him liable? So Amaulah, he says, because gamer mi mitzi shemra. He says, Remeir learns this out from the halachas of mitzi shemra. When a new husband comes to the courts, as the pasuk says in the Devarim, he says to the father of the girl he just married, lemetzasel bet besulah. I didn't find the virginity by the daughter that you claim was a besula. Which it turns out that he was lying, and that's what's called Maitzi Shem. He spreads out a bad name regarding her. So the halacha is Ma Maitzi Shem, just like by the Maitzi Shem, like Umishalim, he gets lashes for the lie that he said about his new bride, and he has to pay a monetary payment of 100 zuz. That is because, like the pasuk says in Devarim Chav Beis, says V'Yisroisay V'Anshoisay. What are these two terminologies? The Gemara Ksuba says, and Daf Mem Vamanal V'Yisru, that refers to Malkus, as the Gemara learns out from Sukkim. And then this Van Shoy said, they also punish him, they have to pay the 100 shkalim. So it says, Ula, Af Kolok Mashalim, so Meir learns, so too all situations that the halacha is going to be that you get lashes and you give a monetary payment. So the Gemara asks, well, Ma'al Meitzi Shemra Shekin Knas, how could you learn out this halacha of getting both Malkis and Tashlumin from Meitzi Shemra? Meitzi Shemra is unique. It's a penalty from the Torah. Any case of Knas is a novelty, because when there's a mumminess, there's a damage, you made the person lose $100, you got to pay him back $100. That's monetary law. A penalty is when there's no real liability, the Torah just penalizes. So you can't learn out monetary law from a novelty of a knas. So how could you learn out the halach of Edom Zomer from Meitzi Shemra? So the Gemara Savla Rebbe Kiva, it may hold like Rebbe Kiva, which recorded on the first daf from Beis and Beis, the Amma Edom Zomer Knas. So he holds that also Edom Zomer is halach of Knas. So you could learn that one Knas from another, just like we find by Edom Zomer by Knas, you get Malkus and Tashlumen. So to Edom Zomer, that there will be Malkus and Tashlumen. Now, Ikedemas and Lahadu Ula, those who learned this teaching of Ula, that when there was a question, where do we know halacha from, as he says in this first version, that, oh, we learned that from Maitzei Shemra, that those who learned it Ahada Tanya, that he said his teaching on the following b'raisa. The Pasuk says in Shema Yisrael regarding the Karban Pesach, Leisesiru Mimenad Beker, do not leave it over till the morning. You have to eat it before morning time. And whatever is left over until the morning, etc., where the Pasuk says, so you have to burn it in the fire. So, says the Braisa, the Torah is coming to give you a positive commandment, which is, so what do you do after the negative prohibition? Meaning, it says, don't leave it over till the morning. If you do, then there's a positive commandment to go ahead and burn it. To tell you, Shein Loikin Lalav, Divri Behuda. Behuda says that what the Torah is coming to tell you is that you don't get lashes, although generally for violating a negative prohibition you get lashes. It's coming to say that the positive commandment that's said afterwards is a rectification and an atonement for the violation of the negative prohibition, what's called Alava Nitik Lase. You violated this prohibition. The Torah says, okay, there's a way to ameliorate it. You left it over, now go ahead and burn it. So according to Behuda, that's why there's no lashes for the prohibition of Neisar of leaving it over till the morning. He disagrees. He says, "Lo min Hashem huzeh." Says that's not the primary reason, because it's a lav shenitig laseh. That's why you don't get lashes for violating the isra of neiser by the Karban Pesach. Ela rather, why is it someone who leaves over from the meat of the Karban Pesach doesn't get lashes? Is mishum dehavale lav shem b'maisa, because it's a negative prohibition that there's no action involved. It's a passivity. It's just not eating up the Karban Pesach. It's just leaving it. Cholav shem b'maisa, and like in love says Rabbi Kiva, any negative prohibition that there's no action involved, there's no lashes for that. To ask the Gemara, Machlal de Behuda Sabah, so the inference is that Behuda holds that lav shem b'maisa like in love, that even a negative prohibition that has no action related to it, that there is lashes. Says the Gemara, Menoli, where does he know that from? That is what the teaching of Amma Uli, he said, Gomer Mimaitzi Shamra. We learned that out from Maitzi Shamra, where in the previous teaching it was coming to teach that you'll get Loike Mishan from Maitzi Shamra. According to this version, the Gemara is saying that Uli's teaching was coming regarding Rabbi Huda's halacha of a negative prohibition that does not have an action, will get lashes. Because Ma Maitzi Shamra, just like this new husband who spreads false rumors about his new wife that there was no virginity, lav shem by ma'isa, like in love, there was no action involved, he didn't do anything, just words is not considered an action, and yet he gets lashes, I've called lav shem by ma'isa, like in love, so too, you see that any negative prohibition, even though there's no action, that there's going to be lashes on it. On that, the Gemara asks, ma'la ma'itzi shemra, how could you go ahead and learn that this halacha, that even a lav shem by ma'isa for Rabbi Huda, that like in the love is you learn that for ma'itzi shemra, but ma'itzi shemra is stringent, as we learned before, in the opinion of the Rabbanan, that's unique to Maitzi Shemra, Shekin Loike Mishalom, where there has a certain stringency that, although generally it's Kedei Rishas, they only get one punishment, but Maitzi Shemra, we find that there's both, there's lashes and payment. So maybe it's such a stringent halacha, that's why the halacha is that even though it's a lav b'shem b'maisa loike love. How would you know, ask the Gemara, that the same thing would apply to every lav b'shem b'maisa, like leaving over Neisar from a Karban Pesach? Elamar Shlokesh, rather he gives a different source for this halacha for Behuda. He says, Gamem Edim Zayman, he learns it out from Edim Zayman. Ma Edim Zayman, just like by the Edim Zayman Lav Shem B'Maisa Loikin Alav, even though there's no action, still there are situations when the Edim Zayman will get lashes just for their words, which is not considered as an action, as we mentioned in the beginning of the Masechta by Edi Ben Gerusha Ben Chalutza, when they said that that defendant is a Ben Gerusha, is a Chalul, and we said that they get lashes for that, even though there's no action in there. I've called Lav Shem B'Maisa Loikin Alav, so we learn from Edim Zayman, that's the source of Rabbi Huda, that even if there's no action, that there's going to be lashes for that negative prohibition. On that interpretation, the Gemara asks, but Mal Edim Zayman, how can you learn from Edim Zayman, which also has a stringency, because Shekin Ein Tzrichin Asra, by Edim Zayman, they don't need a warning, where the Gemara in Ksubis and Daf Lamed Gimel and Alpha explains that there's no feasibility when to warn the Edim Zayman what they're doing. In contrast to every other punishment in the Beis Din, you always need to have a Hasra, a warning beforehand, to say, if you're going to do that, you're going to get this punishment, including lashes. So, made by Edim Zayman, where it's very stringent that they get their lashes, they get their punishment even without Hasra, maybe there, yeah, for the negative prohibition, even though there's no action, they'll get Malkus. But who said you could bring that for any Lav Shem B'Maisa, like by Neisar, that there's going to be lashes? Says the Gemara, Maitzi Shemra Yechich. Well, Maitzi Shemra will disprove that, and because Maitzi Shemra does need Hasra, and yet you see that's not the defining factor, and there it's also Lav Shem B'Maisa, and you get Malkus. Well, v'chaz radim, but then the logic goes back, and but how can you learn from Maitzi Shemra when we said that, well, that has a certain stringency that's like a Mishalim? But says the Gemara, but neither one could be the defining reason why you're going to get Malkus, even though it's Lav Shem B'Maisa. You can't say it's because Oh, because Leike Mishalem. Because regarding the other case, that there is no Leike Mishalem. And regarding one, if you're going to say it's because it has a certain stringency that it doesn't need Hasra, well, the other case does need Hasra. Hatzara Shavashven, what's the common denominator between Maitzi Shemra and between Edim Zayman? Is Lav Shem B'Maisa, but like in the Lav, that they both have a negative prohibition that doesn't have an action attached to it, and is Lashes. Afkol Lav Shem B'Maisa, like in the Lav. That's where you learn that from the common denominator of both of them, that even when there's no action, like in the case of Nesim, Karban Pesach, there's going to be Lashes. But still the Gemara asks, Malatzara Shavashven, how could you learn that even from the common denominator of both Edim Zayman and of and the Mitzvah Shemra, Shekhen Knas, both of them are both Knasses. And we said that they're a Chiddush, so that's a novelty for them. Maybe they're a Knas, that's a penalty, even though it's not an actual obligation, there, even though there's no mice to get like, and how can you say that the same thing would apply by something that's not a Knas? Says the Gemara Lakasha, it's not a difficulty. Rabbi Yehuda Leisov, like Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Yehuda does not hold like Rabbi Kiva that holds Edim Zayman is a Knas. So therefore, yeah, you're going to say, oh, how can I from Maitre Shem, which is a knas? We'll say, but Edim Zayim Yechiech, that's not a knas, and still, even though it's a love, Shem and Maitre, is like in love. But the Gemara still asks, Elamala Tzara Shavashah Behen, but still, regarding the common denominator of both Edim Zayim and Maitre Shemra, Shekin Yesh Behen Tzad Chomer. Although it's not the same common stringency to say, oh, that's why, even though it's Shem and Maitre, like in love, but each one has an element of stringency that does not apply to Neisser, to any other Lav Shem B'Maisa. One has an element of that doesn't need Hasra. One has because you get two punishment of Leike Mishalem. So how could you learn out to, let's say, by Neisser, that which doesn't have any of those stringencies, that is going to have Malkis, even though Shem B'Maisa? Which the Gemara answers, V'bihuda tzad chama leparcha. V'bihuda does not hold that's a pircha, a refutation of the teaching of the common denominator, because since each one's stringency is not the defining reason why there's going to be Malkis, because you see the other one does not have the chorman, still has Malkis, so obviously that's not the reasoning for it, and therefore we go with just the common denominator, and the common denominator does not have any unique stringencies, and therefore every lav shem b'maisa, says V'bihuda, is like in love. Now the Mefarshim explained that the wording over here should be a quote of the Mishnah, that the Chacham say that when they wanted to incriminate the defendant, that he's going to require lashes, and it turns out they were huzam, that not like Rameh that you get 80 lashes, two pairs, you only get one set of lashes. And Rameh says you get two because one's loisan b'recha et shakar, and one is kashazamim. So the Gemara says, Rabbanon, hai loisan b'recha et shakar, my darshibe. What do they expound with that pasuk? Rameh seemingly is correct. One set of lashes because what they plotted. The other one is just for saying false testimony, like this pasuk says. Any negative prohibition you violate, you get lashes. Says the Gemara, Hahumi boili lazhar le'edim zayman. That pasuk is actually coming to punish the witnesses in the din of hazama, not to give a punishment of malchus. Rather, there is a punishment of hazama, like the pasuk says, like the other pasuk Rameh brings of kasha zama. But we know, as the Torah said, as the Gemara mentions many times, loy onash hakas of elim kein hizr. There has to be ashar minayin, with the warning. The Torah has to warn and give the punishment. The warning for the punishment of kasher zamim is this pasuk of loy sanam rechet shakar. Don't say false testimony. If you do, you get the punishment of kasher zamim. So it's not two separate punishments. When they said when they're getting kasher zamim of lashes, loy sanam is not a separate punishment. It's the warning of that punishment of kasher zamim. To which the Gemara asks, but Remeir, that he learns Loisana as a separate punishment, that of lashes, Sazhar le'edim zemun nole, where does he know the warning for the punishment of Kasha Zama? On Rabbi Yirmi, he says, Nafkele, learns of him passing in the Varm, Mevehanesharim yishmu b'yirov le'yisifu eid. When it says there in the Pasig, in the Parsha of Edim Zayman, it says, and the remaining Jewish people, they will listen, they will see, and they're not going to come to do that anymore, where regarding the punishment of the Edim Zayman, it's also warning and saying that people shouldn't do this anymore. That's why they have to watch what happens to the Edim Zayman. So that's the Ashara of that Einish. The Rosh Gemara says, and Rabbanan, what do they do with that pasuk? They already know the Hazara from Leisana. Hahumi Baile, they need that pasuk, as we get to the time of Heyman Aleph, Lahachraza, to make an announcement, as Gemara says in Sanhedrin of Peitesim and Aleph, that there's four categories that there has to be an announcement regarding them. After they get punished in the court has to announce that this person was executed for that type of avera, and that's to subdue the ones who hear that, to get scared, oh my, I'm not going to do that. That's what this pasuk is teaching, and the rest are going to hear, they're not going to do it again, not as the warning, but rather as the announcement that has to be made. Whereas Remeir, he says, Achraza mi yishmo v'yiro nafka, he splits up the pasuk into two. The fact that you have to make the announcement, that's learned out from the part of the pasuk that says that the remaining will hear and they will see. How are they going to hear and see? Because there's going to be an announcement. And the Azhara, the warning of the halacha of Edom Zayman, is from the rest of the pasuk, from below Yisivoy, they're not going to come to do it anymore, meaning that's the warning that they shouldn't come to do it, which, and the rest of the parasha over there of Kasha Samim talks about the actual punishment that they get.